thanking the organizers for inviting me. I'm certainly delighted to be here in honor of Andreas's 60th birthday. I think we should especially thank Joris, since he actually came. all the way from this next floor up, I guess. In addition to being a really nice guy and a fantastic researcher, as we've heard several speakers say, Andreas has a wide interest in many areas of logic and computer science and many related fields. I understand now that it's very popular at the NSF. I don't know how long they've had this FRG. I don't know if that. I just heard about this, but I'm sure it's been going on. FRG, Focused Research Group, right? I don't know. Somebody told me about it. I think that could be very effective. You have a large group of people working on one problem or one area, focused in on it. But I think it's also nice to have people like Andreas, who are completely unfocused. I mean that in a good way. I also think of myself as unfocused, but it's more in a blurry way. When I was preparing my remarks about him last week, I decided to punch his name into. I went to Math Reviews online and put Andreas Bloss in, and of course, it spit out hundreds of papers, and for a while I thought maybe there was more than one Bloss, but this was Andreas Bloss. And I just noted a few of the titles that I got coming out. I was wondering what he was up to. He wrote some papers on voting rules, gamblers, another paper on gamblers' ruin, NP completeness. There was a paper on homotopian homology, topos theory, and on and on. I think you fit every little area there, every area of logic. I mean, I really admire that breath. I think that's something that's really nice. Now, this is all a preface to the story I'm about to tell. Ancient history, I guess. I think we met in 1978 or maybe 77. I was a brand new PhD, and Andreas came to Madison and on leave, and I think he gave a topics course, and I remember, I think this was the first time I met him. Of course, I wanted to know what would the topics course be on, and so he said, well, it'll be on models of arithmetic and ultrafilters and omega. Then he said, of course, that's all I know. Now, of course, he was just being his humble self even then, but I don't think it would be really a stretch of humbleness if you could say that now. No. What I'm going to talk about is the axiom of choice. And I should mention there's one loss result that I really like from the mid, I think it's around 1984. The axiom of choice is equivalent to every vector space as a basis. So that's a nice equivalence for the axiom of choice. That's kind of a positive way of talking about the axiom of choice. And it really has nothing to do with what I'm going to say. My theme is going to be just how bad can the axiom of choice fail? I'm more attracted to the really perverse models where the axiom of choice just goes really bad. So that's going to be my theme. And so let me start. So the axiom of choice, we're going to throw that out. Now, whenever I mention I'm going to talk about failure of the axiom of choice, I very commonly get the reaction, oh yes, I know all about the axiom of determinacy. That's really interesting, weird stuff, the axiom of determinacy. No, that's not what I'm going to talk about either. But along with the axiom of determinacy, you have dependent choices. So dependent choices is a little bit more than accountable choice, in that you can choose things, but what you've chosen depends on what you've already chosen. There's several equivalents to this. Probably the most useful one is that OSET is ill-founded, that is, it has a subset which has no minimal element, if and only if there's a descending sequence. So there's a, so if you have a subset with no minimal element, you can take a P0 out of it, and then since it's not minimal, there's something strictly smaller, and then you can keep picking something smaller and smaller and smaller. Like, and this is the axiom of dependent choices. So it's also equivalent to it, to dependent choices. Another one that I like a lot is the, it's equivalent to the bare category theorem for complete metric spaces. This is due to, I think, Blair in 1977. So here you pick open sets, which are nested, and avoid the nth meager set and have the diameter shrink. Anyway, it's a dependent choice. What you do on the nth step depending on what you already picked, and you have to pick a new one. So that's an equivalent to the dependent choices. Now, when I first, get a lot of exercise when I first encountered dependent choices, it was in a paper by Solovay when I was a graduate student. This famous paper where every set of reals is Lebesgue measurable. Well, this paper has a lot of other things in there. He talks about Borel codes, and he talks about this is where he proved that you're a Cohen real if you avoid all meager sets coded in the Brown model. A lot of nice things in there. And I forgot what he says exactly, but he says something like, well, we want to assume some bit of the choice. We can't assume anything that's contradictory. We can't assume well ordering, because that would contradict every set of reals as Lebesgue measurable. We want to assume some bit of choice. I forget what he said, but it's something like, otherwise we could have some really silly things happening that complete nonsense. And that, of course, that's what the rest of my talk is about, yes. So dependent choices is false. And also, let's see, the next thing to consider is countable choice. So this is choice functions for countable families. Okay. Sometimes you get a student who tries to prove this by induction. So that's, throw that out. And so I'm getting weaker and weaker choice here, but I'm really, it's a negation that I'm looking at. So the next level is the countable union of countable sets is countable. Okay. This one you have to be a little bit careful with, because it's pretty easy to convince yourself that you can prove this one. So you have countable sequence. You have a countable family of countable sets. So that means that for every n, you have a counting non-two map onto xn. And so, of course, that means you can map omega cross omega onto the union, just by taking nm to f sub n sub m. And then here's where you have to use the axiom of choice back here, that you see that you can get map omega onto, sorry, didn't fool anybody there, I guess. So, of course, you can't this quantifier distance and making sense unless you can choose the FN for the sequence of FNs. You can't construct that map. So anyway, this is closer to what I'm going to talk about now. This is false, okay? But that's not, we're not done yet. We're not there in the world I want to be. Here's my ground model. So V, this is the Pfefferman-Levy model. So V is a model of ZF plus 2 to the mega is the countable union of countable sets. So it's not just that the countable union of countable sets is uncountable, it's actually something we care about. 2 to the omega is a countable union of countable sets. So now this is where we have to, put your mental state here to understand what I'm going to say to you now. So anything you believed previously was true about the real line, of course, is out the window if it's countable union of countable sets. Now, what can you prove without choice? Well, without choice, you can certainly prove that 2 to the omega was the same thing as the power set of omega, has the same cardinality as the real line. All that's proved without choice. And you can certainly prove that the power set of omega is uncountable. You can't get a map from omega onto the power set of omega. That's impossible. That doesn't require a choice either. And every time you think of anything, you have to go through your whole proof and just check you didn't use the axiom of choice to see whether it's true or not. But anyway, that is my ground model. So I'm going to do forcing, and but this is my ground. This is where I'm living here. This power set of omega is a countable union of countable sets. Now that we're in this bizarre world here, let me mention. I welcome any questions or comments or funny noises or any kind of interruption. You want to throw in something here? Otherwise, I'll just keep blathering on. But anyway, that's where you have to put yourself mentally. So let me start. And now, of course, that's the. I guess the title should have said the failure of the axiom of choice, but now I want to talk about the Borel hierarchy. So sigma 0, 0, this should all be bold-faced. This is all Clopin subsets of 2 to the omega, and I'm going to give you the precise definition. And if you want to go up to sigma 0 alpha, this is the countable unions of stuff that you've already seen. So this is a countable sequence in the pi 0 less than beta sets. So I use the less than beta just to refer to the union of all previous sets. Yeah, where did beta come from? Wet block. So. Here's the beta over here. And of course, and then the pi's are the same. You put intersection there and sigma there and like that. Okay. Classical Borel hierarchy. Now, the Hausdorff terminology for this, the outer quantifier terminology, F sigma 0, 2, G delta pi 0, 2, G delta sigma pi 0, sigma 0, 3, go to the outside like this. And what do you approve? And there's no axiom of choice here, so we better check some of the basic facts that are true. If alpha is less than beta, then the sigma class, sigma 0, pi 0, alpha are a subset of the delta 0, beta. Okay, and that's clearly true. Why is sigma is inside the sigma? Because that just means you reduce that ordinal down there a little bit lower, so that's clear. Sigma's inside sigma. It's also inside the previous pi's. The previous pi's are it's inside the pi because you can take the constant sequence. So that this is obviously still true. If lambda is a limit, then the two sides are the same. That's just a consequence. Less than lambda is the same thing as pi 0 less than lambda. That's just a consequence of the first thing. And then the usual classical thing about if you take the complements of things in the sigma side, then you get the pi side. Well, you just have to check that De Morgan's law didn't use the axiom of choice. I'm worried about that for a while. But well, now we get to LeBay. Who proved two things, that the Borel hierarchy has, he proved that the Borel hierarchy has omega 1 different levels. It's non-decreasing like this. It has omega 1 different levels. And he proved it by, it has at least, first of all, you have to prove it has at least alpha levels for each countable alpha, and he proved that using universal sets, universal functions is what he used, but universal sets, and you get a universal set by using Borel codes, and you get Borel codes by choosing them. So this is false in our world, because in our world, 2 to the mega is the countable union of countable sets, and so if you take any subset of 2 to the mega, let's say 2 to the mega is the countable union of countable sets, so 2 to the mega is union of xn, where the xn's are countable, so if you take any subset, it is also the countable union of countable sets. Subset of a countable set is countable. And that means that every subset of 2 to the mega is F sigma sigma. Okay. Now, you never see F sigma sigma unless somebody just says, well, F sigma sigma. We never use that because that's F sigma. Okay. But why is it F sigma sigma? Well, a countable set is a countable union of points. Points are definitely closed, even in our world. And that makes it F sigma sigma. Now, F sigma sigma, if you check out this business here, this subset of sigma 0, 4. Should be sigma 0, 3, but you stupidly, it didn't go union, union. You went union, intersection, union. Oh, I guess it was me. Anyway. But there's one positive result, theorem of ZF. So absolutely no choice. Sigma 0, 3 is not equal to pi 0, 3. So that's, you can just go through and get a proof that doesn't use the axiom of choice to prove that they're not equal. So And the, our model here, V, you have definitely you have a hierarchy going up through the levels. And it's sort of, there you get everything at the fourth level. So you have exactly four levels in V. And that's as small as you can have. Now, where's Lebesgue's? Now, the second part of Lebesgue's proof is that, of course, it can't be longer than omega 1. Is a regular cardinal. You can't approach omega 1 from a blow with a countable sequence. The cofinality of omega 1 is omega 1, and so if you have a set appearing, say, at sigma 0 alpha n, then the alpha n's have a soup. And of course, then the intersection would be in pi 0 alpha, which would be, so every Borel set is going to appear in this level. Okay? But in our world, this is false. That is, from the Navy model, you have in VF, you can map. Well, 2 to the omega is really isomorphic to 2 to the omega cross omega, and these are binary relations, and you can map them to, onto omega 1 by taking a well order, any well ordering you map to its order type. So if it's a well ordering you map it to order type, it's not a well ordering, map it to 0 or something, you get an onto map, and since I can write 2 to the omega as a countable union of countable sets, the image under this map will write omega 1 as a countable union of countable sets, then you could pretty easily see that that can only happen if omega 1 has cofinality omega. And in the Sepperman-Levy model, it's even more startling because omega 1 of V is actually, if you start with the gamma of it as L, is actually alpha omega of L. So it's not even a very tricky to define sequence. You just take the cardinals of L, they go right up to omega 1. It's, it would seem almost impossible to keep it from being countable. That's true in the Sepperman-Levy model. So this opens up the following question that occurred to Peter Komiaf. That is, can the Borel hierarchy have length greater than omega 1? Have greater than omega 1 levels. Would seem okay because you have the sequence going, if you have the sequence going up to omega 1, maybe you take a Borel set on that level and you union them up and get up into another level. And the answer is yes. So the theorem is there is a symmetric submodel of a generic extension of V, let's call it, in such that N and B have the same cardinals, and N says that the Borel hierarchy has omega 2 levels. Okay, so pretty bizarre, huh? So so omega 2, I guess in their model is actually L, so omega plus 1 of L, but goes up omega 2 levels. And of course it's natural. I think actually Peter asked, could it be arbitrarily, can it be bigger than omega 2? Now, the easy way to see that this is not going to be bigger than omega 2 is that omega 2 is irregular in this model, so it can't get past omega 2 for the same reason it doesn't get past omega 1 normally. So if you want to have it go past omega 2, you're going to have omega 2 be cofinal with omega. So there is a model . This is Kittick's model, I think from 1980. He has a model of ZF where for every ordinal alpha, the cofinality of alpha is omega. So of course, to get the Borel hierarchy to go up past omega 2, I only need two of these to be. I mean, it only implies that two of them are, you need omega 1 and omega 2 to have cofinality omega. Now, I understand that you're not, you don't have to mention that if you use large cardinals, since everybody believes they're true, you don't have to mention that, but he used, for this proof, he used Classmany strongly compact cardinals. You know, and collapse them all and put basically prick resequences in all of them. But I think the converse is there's a, the referee wouldn't let me get away with that, though he insisted on I should say something, even though I'm not really interested in large cardinals. The converse, there's a result of Schindler that if it's consistent to have kappa and kappa plus both singular, that implies the consistency of a wooden cardinal. So you can't, if we're going to get it to go past omega 2, we need at least a wooden cardinal. And to me, a wooden cardinal, class in the strongly compact cardinal, is not much difference. Don't really work with either one of them, but there's a gap there. I don't know where it goes. But this Kittick model, so if we go in the Kittick model, then in fact we have the same theorem. If V satisfies ZF, thus for all alpha has cofinality omega, then for any ordinal of V, there is a symmetric submodel of a generic extension of V with the same alphas. And the Borel hierarchy has length at least lambda. Now there's even a bigger gap there in this proof than you might think. I don't just need cofinality omega 1 and omega 2 to be omega. I need also All the Aleph alpha is less than or equal to Aleph sub omega 2. So I need omega 2 plus 1 strongly compact cardinals, I guess. I don't know. But we'll just hide that under the rug by just assuming that they're all singular. And somebody handed it to us on a plate. This is, I really like this result because I didn't have to read Gittick's paper. I just had to assume I had a ground model like this. I think to get more detail about how high the Brouwerhartke actually is, you're going to have to read this paper and see. But it's at least lambda. Any questions yet? Oh, I just use cone forcing. That's all I know. Now, the tricky part, of course, is the symmetric filters of things here.
Can you get the Borel hierarchy to have length ON?
No, that's impossible, right? Because then you'd map for every set, you'd see what level did it occur on. Right, and you get a map from the power set, on, if it occurs at all. And you get a map from the power set onto all ordinals, which is impossible. But there must be some cutoff just by the replacement axiom. Right. Otherwise, I would have gone all the way out. Just assume another strongly compact. Now, what this result really is, it's a little bit of a cheat, though. I don't really force the Brouwerhartke so much high. It's really the Conway union thing there. I never really use complements, and I have to have an argument to show that complements would have been useless anyway to get up to the level here. So what it's really about is more the motivation that came from Gittick's model, Gittick's result. It goes back to Spector, and actually I think Church wrote a paper in the 20s where they were still trying to figure out what it meant to be a countable ordinal, and there was some fussiness about whether you meant that the ordinal was countable, whether it had cofinality omega, and there were a lot of discussions about that. And Spector, I think, defined G0 to be the class of countable sets, and then G alpha the countable unions of sets that you've already seen. So countable unions, start with countable sets, and then you take countable unions of countable sets and countable unions of countable unions. Essentially, closing our countable unions. And Spector, I think there's a K, not T. I've been teaching recursion theory, and there's Clifford Spector. Oh, Spector, I think is the correct name. That's correct. And what actually is true in Gittick's model. Not only does every cardinal have cofinality omega, but in fact, the entire, so this is Gittick's model. It's, what? We'll see in a minute, you have to go through all the ordinals at least. Yeah, but, that's true. Gittick also has another model where he takes this model and he adds some more generics and he gets that it still has this cofinality business, but he destroys this. So this is not equivalent to that there. But the theorem of Speckers from 1957. So this is of course just in ZF. Otherwise it's kind of a dull theory. G0, you're done there. I mean. The result I like is omega 2 is not the countable union of countable sets. Okay. The theorem, so omega 2, in other words, is not in G1. And the reason you have to go all through the transfinite is this is true of all the alphas. The aleph alpha is not in G less alpha. And you can check pretty easily if everything's got cofinality, if for all alpha, cofinality of alpha is omega, then alpha is exactly in G alpha. What'd you say? Omega 2, yeah, it's omega 2 and G1. So omega 2 is in G2. What? V is everything, yeah, eventually, yeah. That's less than infinity. So all the ordinals are going to be, get there eventually. Then you have the power set of the ordinals. You have to worry about that. So another Specker result is if you take the power set of aleph alpha, then that's not in G alpha. Okay. But I think in Giddick's model it's in G alpha plus 3 or something like that. So it's, I forget how many. It's not the next level. In fact, it's still open question whether you can have power set of every aleph alpha in G sub alpha plus 1. There's some partial results on that, but that's still open. But this is not what I'm talking about. These things are too short for me. So what I want is the power set of omega. I want, of course, that's what I'm interested in. I want it to appear, but very late. So that's next. So in for every alpha Fefferman-Levy model. I guess alpha should be at least 1 or 2 or something like that. There is a model, symmetric submodel of generic extension of V, in which we have positive omega is exactly in G alpha and not B4. So in this model, so this is actually almost the same model. I just cut a piece of it off and stopped before I got out to omega 2. And then the difficulty was to prove that everything appeared there. So this is actually a submodel of the first model. And in this model, it's also true that every set is Borel because we're disclosing under countable unions. And so it's also true in this model that there's exactly, if you take a limit ordinal alpha, then there's exactly alpha plus 1 levels for the Borel hierarchy. But it's kind of a cheat because these Borel sets, really you could have generated them all just using union. You didn't need complementation, and the difficulty is to see how you can get around, you have to prove the complementation was worthless, which it is. So this, that's the tricky, another tricky part of that proof. Now, so I want to talk about new topic. This is the third time I've given this lecture, but I know some people saw one and some people saw the other, so there's no hope Art didn't see this three times. Did you, Art? Just one? Okay. There's only one. So there's one last topic that I want to mention, it requires a little bit of definitions. I call this, so I've exhausted myself on the length of the barrage, at least now I want to go with the width of the barrage. Normally it just has these two sides skinny. There's two sides, they're not equal, but they come together and that's a skinny barrage. I want one that's wide. So it's suggested by this F sigma sigma, where I take closed Conway unions, Conway unions, and I might do that sort of a thing. Now I need some terminology here. So gamma of the empty sequence is the Copen subsets. And then let's, instead of sigmas and deltas, let's indicate unions and intersections with zeros and ones. So if I have Chuck is dissolving. If I have an F in, say, 2 to the delta, like this, and if I wanted to define gamma delta concatenated with 0, I should take all the unions. Oh, that's F, right. Thanks. So if the last thing is a 0, then I should take unions of the things that previously appeared. And if it's a 1, then of course I should take intersections. And if I'm defining F delta itself, and delta is a limit ordinal, then I should just take, F. If delta is a limit, I'll just take that to be the union of the classes that I have before. Okay, so that's sort of the most natural thing to allow myself to occasionally take unions and unions and unions, or and then if I feel like it for a while, take intersections and intersections and intersections. Now, there's a couple of trivial things that I can prove about this. For one thing, I realize that the union of open sets is still open. Probably that occurred to you also. So I don't want to have 0, 0, because that's just 1, 0, and that's just open. In the same way with close, I should rule out Fs that start off 0, 0, or 1, 1. That's one trivial thing that I realized. And the other thing is I want to know who's contained in another thing. And what's clear is that if F is a subsequence of G, then gamma F will be a subset of gamma G. Now, what this means, of course, is that there's a increasing map from the domain of F to the domain of G, such that F of alpha is just G of sigma alpha. So this must be strictly increasing. So it's really a subsequence, right? So from an ordinal sense, it's pretty trivial to prove then that gamma F is contained in gamma G. And since these two facts are the only things that I could prove, I can conjecture that's all you can prove. That's all I can prove. I can prove that conjecture. But anyway, this would be as wide as it could possibly get if this was the only way one of these classes can be contained in another. Now these double-sided where you go back and forth, those eventually everybody sort of goes into those and they come apart and they go into this. And if you're familiar with quasi-order theory, it probably won't surprise you that I can prove one other thing about the width of the Borel hierarchy, namely if, let's say, X contained in 2 to the ordinals, sequences of ordinals, if this is infinite, then there exists F and G in X with F not equal to G and gamma F a subset of gamma G. So you can't find an infinite X where they're so wide apart that they're incomparable to each other. And that just uses this. The fact that this relation is a well quasi order. And that if you're very tricky about it, you can sort of avoid using any choice, or at least not avoid realizing that you've used any choice, and then prove that. So that's it. Thank you.